Welcome, February 10th, 2007. My God, that's really going fast. Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. We do have the camera on tonight. Sometimes we don't have the camera on, and then it fills up, but it's on tonight. And remember that the camera always shows at night the phenomenon of the Dorian Gray paintings that I did with Semyonsky a number of years ago. So that's up and running. And at the half hour, we're going to have Steve Barish talk about the latest exploits that he has had. And being that this, I've got a lot of other guests lining up, but I've gotten some requests to do this open mic stuff a little bit more often. I don't know how much I'll be doing it, but some, where I can get questions and answers in. So we use the, on the front page of the BBS radio, we are using the quick chat. If you don't call in, if you're afraid to call in and talk live, we're taking callers. We don't know. I've got different topics that I'll cover, but you know, I always like the show to go where it wants. I really want to thank one of our devout listeners who's really into this, really into BBS Radio, Wesley Snipes. He's doing a tremendous job in supporting my work and that of BBS Radio. Well, hi, Wes, if you're out there. And he's out visiting us right now in California, which is great. Lives on the East Coast, obviously, and he's got a great movie coming out soon. It's about a kind of a spiritual cowboy vampire, if you want. And I guess some of the religious people are a little upset about it, but they always are. This is a controversial but a hot film. I highly recommend it. And last week when Wesley came down and we had lunch together, we were talking about his intense discipline. I'm sure most of you have seen the Blade 1, 2, and 3 movies that he's done. And we went to a little restaurant down in Dana Point where not too many people recognize him. I always get him off in the corner so people don't bug him. But he doesn't mind doing the autograph thing. He does a lot of that. Of course, the waitress got the giggles, which was kind of cute. But we dealt with it and got a lot accomplished. He's also going to be working on a couple more movies. More towards New Age now. He believes that people need to wake up, and he wants to use his celebrity to really bring about some changes. And I'll tell you something about Wesley Snipes that a lot of people don't realize. The man is probably the closest thing to a naturopathic doctor that I've ever met. He's brilliant on holistic things. He eats very well. He's not an alcoholic, doesn't drink. He stays clean. And the big thing about him is his discipline in martial arts. We were talking the other day, and I said to him, I said, you know, I asked him, first of all, I said, I tell people you do most of your stunts in Blade. They're not video tricks. They're real. He says, yes, that's true. And I said, well, what percentage of the stunts do you do in their entirety in reality? He says, about 95%. And I thought that was pretty good. I would have thought maybe 70%. Then I asked him, I said, well, you know, there's one thing that you do that I've seen other martial artists do it, but not very often. That's where you run full speed into a wall and jump up, put your feet on the wall, walk up the wall with your forward inertia, walk across the top of the ceiling and come back down and face the other way. And I said, how often do you do that? And he says, well, on a good day, I do it several times. But he says, on a bad day, I almost broke my neck a few times. So that's one stunt I wouldn't try at home without a lot of practice. And then when I asked him, he's about 5'11 tall and solid muscle. And I said, well, you know, how is your workout routine? He says, well, I'm not doing a whole lot right now because I just came back from Namibia. But he says, I will be getting into another film down in Thailand soon, and we'll start working out. I says, what's your workout per day? And how many days a week do you work out? And he says, a minimum of 5 days and 3 to 6 hours a day in martial arts and exercises. I says, isn't that a little boring? And he says, well, it's very boring, but what you do is you rotate into 2 hours or 3 hours to 6 hours. You rotate your exercises on a daily basis, and you have different sets on different days. You know, we were having a great chat about celebrity, And people don't realize, people like him, his next movie is going to be an action movie. And it's really interesting. You know, he's past 40 years old now. And the discipline that it requires and having no life, sure they make good money, but the discipline is tremendous to be a real live action hero. And then to have a family with four children and a fifth on the way, I mean, that's a lot of discipline. It's not just like you know, the real stars. I'm not talking about the Lushes. You know, when I look at Wesley Snipes and I look at some of these other guys that really aren't, to me, real full-action heroes, it's pathetic where some of them are coming from. But he actually sets the mark. He's the old-fashioned kind of guy that really does the deal, lives the talk and walks the walk. So we really appreciate having him being a big supporter of BBS Radio. Secondly, I'm getting more responses from CanTalk 1340. I noticed that on my page, on my inside the page, when you go to Dr. Fred Bell's page, there's a lot of testimonials that Don has been posting, which are really nice. And I noticed we're getting a lot of listeners from CanTalk 1340 AM, 1400 AM down there in the Voice of Tampa Bay, which we've become. I want to thank you Floridian listeners for your tremendous support to BBS Radio, and I promise you this network is just going to be getting better and better and better and better. Next, I wanted to talk about a little bit about global warming. If you remember what some of you have heard in my reruns, my early shows I do on Fridays, you remember that on Fridays I do some pre-recorded stuff, and I did my KFOX series from 1984. And 1984, when I did, that was a 5-day-a-week show, an hour a day, 5 hours a week, 23.5 hours per month, it figures out. That was a lot of work doing that show, and I had to have the latest material, always be on top of it on a daily basis. And I covered global warming then. I covered it a lot. And people, there's something that needs to be understood. And that is that when we were talking about global warming, and it's not just about freezing, you know, the icebergs up in Iceland and all across the northern part of the globe melting, it's a much deeper thing than that. It has to do with the carbon dioxide that's causing it. Now, back on Mars, there's a pyramid on Mars that Richard and Hoagland took frames from our NASA run across the surface of Mars, and it looks like the Sphinx. Well, the Sphinx in Egypt, being a female symbol next to the pyramid, is over 15,000 years old. It's an old piece. It's got Atlantean artifacts inside of it. And it depicts the female energy of the planet, and that's also depicted in a pyramid when the pyramid is upside down. And if those of you that have seen us muscle test, we put a pyramid on somebody's head and it's right side up in the yang mode, they test strong, and when we put it in the yin mode, it tests weak. Well, it should not test weak in the yin mode on people. It means that your metabolism is unbalanced. The yin and the yang should be balanced in all human beings. That's why on the nuclear receptor you see an equal distribution of vertical and horizontal pyramids and right angle pyramids to balance that energy out on the bridge of the nuclear receptor. It sends that energy into the DNA. But the point here being, when I had spoken to the Pleiadians about this face on Mars and this group of buildings and structures that are geometrically trying to prove a point, I asked about what happened to Mars. Why is it without atmosphere? And what the Pleiadians told me was that a million years ago, they and Mars had a water like we do here. You see the water, you know, you see the water marks, the canals. Of course, they thought there was water in them in the turn of the century, but there wasn't any water in the canals on Mars. There was a long time ago. There's so supposedly maybe some water deposits in shale deep within the base of Mars below where these canals are. The bottom line was there was a civilization living there. It's a little bit colder because it's a little bit further away from the sun, but the fact is it would then support life. And that civilization, what happened was, they began to they began to create carbon dioxide like we are here, with a misuse of technology, as we're doing here. And it's not just, by the way, fossil fuels. It's also, you got to realize that between 60 and 65%, actually was at one time 68% of the oxygen generated on this planet didn't come from the rainforest. It came from the first 75 feet of algae on the surface and below the surface of the sea. Today that's being destroyed by acid rain, by radiation from the 980-some bombs that were dropped with fallout lasting thousands of years. And that's where it becomes irreversible. So the same thing happened on Mars. And when it happened on Mars, what happened was the heavy carbon dioxide starts to come down on the lighter oxygen. Okay, oxygen is just the O6, okay, and hydrogen is O2, H2O, okay? Carbon dioxide is heavier than oxygen. So what happens is it displaces the oxygen and pushes it out. What the atmospheric pressure will build up for a period of time, and then it's just like taking a balloon and just pushing on it so hard, at some point it gives, and all the air inside of it escapes. And that's what happens. It's called outgassing. And that's what the danger is here. If this carbon dioxide level gets high, we will lose our oxygen within a matter of days. It's not a very pleasant way to die, and the entire planet will become like Mars. That's the real danger. The second point that I'd like to get across, that is, when you have a temperature, okay, your body likes to be about 98 degrees, okay? Now, how do you feel when you're normally, say, 98.5, 98.6 degrees, depending on your metabolism, how would you feel when you have a 1 degree temperature? The flu comes along, and now you're 99, you're just 99 degrees. How's your energy? You know, those of you out there, ask yourself that. How is your energy when you just get a touch of the flu at 99 degree temperature? It starts to drop tremendously. Then what happens is, what happens when you get to 100 degrees, just 2 degrees in the human body? What happens? Well, what happens is now you're sick. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to get out of bed. In a few more degrees, you're going to be bedridden. You can still get around, but at 100 degrees, nobody wants to function. No one. So now let's look at the Earth. You know, the human body, the external temperature for the human body, right?
Those of you out there,
68 degrees. When it's 68 degrees, it's the perfect temperature for the human body. So the Earth's temperature now has almost risen 1 degree. So the Earth now has a fever. Now you imagine what the changes are going to be, and pretty soon it'll be 99.5, you know, it'll go up in 1.5 degrees. You begin to make a comparison between the human body and the Earth, and you realize we have a tremendous change. Do we have a caller? When I heard a beep, I wasn't sure how the system works. So anyway, if you have any questions, by the way, you can always go to the BBS Fast Chat. So what happens is, this is what the Earth people are thinking. Well, they're not thinking about the relationship between the Earth, and they're not thinking about the relationship between human body temperatures in the Earth. And one degree temperature is a huge difference. And that's one of the serious problems that we have. Okay, now I've got a few questions coming up here.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, I can barely hear you.
Okay, who's this?
It's Pam. I called last week and got disconnected.
Oh, well, you have a question, Pam?
I do. I wanted you to finish your answer.
Hey, what was the question?
Well, this week I know what color my power dome is. It's gold.
Right.
And you had gotten to the place where we were getting to the clearing the allergies part.
Yeah.
And then what comes after that? Because you were asking me something and I couldn't answer you because I got disconnected.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember where we were at with the question. One of the areas that I was leading into with what I was just talking about is the color blindness and the bandwidth of the human eye and the bandwidth of the human ear. And one person will see an object in the sky and the other one doesn't because their bandwidth is lower. And one of the tools that Sam's talking about here to fix that is called a power dome. A power dome is a device that's worn on the head that detoxes the liver, and it also detoxes the brain, okay? Do you understand that, about how they work on that level?
Yes.
Okay. So let me just explain this to the people out there. When the arteries, when you breathe air in, it goes into your lungs. The arterial size of your lungs is very large. The blood veins coming out of your lungs. As soon as that gets up into the base of the brain, it goes directly, the oxygen comes directly into your lungs, goes right to the base of your brain. When it gets to the base of the brain, it goes into what's called the circle of Willis. When it gets into the circle of Willis, the size of the arteries coming into the brain drops from a quarter of an inch to a millionth of an inch. So effectively, the brain becomes a strainer. So anytime you have any kind of toxicity in your blood, and that includes all these chemicals that are floating around in the air, they're going to start to deposit in the brain over a period of time. And that, as this deposit takes place, what happens is the brain functions start to shut down. The first thing that's going to go in most humans is your balance. You can't stand. Remember how we stood on our foot, on one foot, and played hopscotch, jumped forward and backwards and sideways, holding one leg up? Most people can't do that after a certain period of time because that part of the brain is clogged up. Then it goes up into the midbrain, these toxins, this blockage, and it shuts down the endocrine function of the body. So you become allergic to everything. Sleep cycles change. All those kinds of things. And finally, it goes to the forebrain when you have senility or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or some of these other diseases. So when the pyramid is worn on the head, and I wear it a lot on my shows even, it starts to vibrate the hydrogen atom within the water in your structure of the brain. And the hydrogen and the oxygen atom start to blow all these toxins out. And so these toxins start coming out and they go down into the liver. When they get down into the liver detoxes the body. As this process takes place, the brain starts to reverse its chemistry back to when you were younger. And now you also get the youth of the metabolism and you get the wisdom of the age. So your frequency changes and you start to tune into what we call the new age, the higher frequency of the new age. Because remember, we're rotating around the Pleiades every 26,000 years, and during that time, we go into higher and lower vibrations, and now we're supposed to be going into a higher bandwidth. Some people call it the photon belt, which simply means that we're able to interpret light as fast as it's created, whereas before, we were kind of running around in dark shadows, depending on whether we're in the Renaissance or any of those kinds of periods. So now, getting to that, what specifically do you need to know of having that little background put up? What would be your question, Pam?
I wanted to know, after it finishes and you reach that higher frequency, what kind of things do you notice?
Okay, what happens?
Yeah.
Okay, what happened in me for the first year, I had horrible headaches. Remember, when I was younger, I smoked 2 packs of cigarettes a day when I worked at NASA for 2 years, and these were Lucky Strikes and Camels, so I had a lot of detoxing to go. So what happened was my urine and everything smelled like an ashtray, even though I hadn't smoked in 15 years.
Wow.
It was 15 years from the time I stopped smoking that I wore one. So then what happened to me was at first it was a little strange because I started thinking clearly. I could actually think, answer questions instantaneously, and I noticed my speech pattern increased, my frequency increased, and I talked a bit faster. Then I noticed that my physical desire for more exercise increased. And that's when I went back to running. When I was really young, I used to run a lot, and then I started running. Once I started wearing the pyramid, I was running very well, 11, 12, 13 miles an hour, which is great. It's not as fast as a basketball player, but still, it worked for me, and I could go maybe 5, 10 miles doing that. So my physical metabolism increased. The next thing that happened was I started losing weight, because as my metabolism increased, then the weight loss. Then what happened was I hadn't played the clarinet in a number of years. I started playing it when I was in the 6th grade. And so suddenly I was able to hear notes again. I wasn't tone deaf anymore. I think I got tone deaf because all these toxins in your brain, it's kind of, you look at Ayurvedic, science, it kind of describes when your liver's toxic, your bandwidth is shot on every level, and therefore you're frustrated, and you got to go down to the drugstore and take, Effexor or something, like most people do. Well, I hadn't gotten that far yet, so everything, then I noticed that the colors got brighter, and I started painting. I picked up paints, because I did all kinds of paintings. So I was now doing painting and artwork, which I had no interest in. Suddenly I had tremendous artist in it, interest in it. And so then I started getting channeling, and then I started writing books, because I now had this knowledge to share, and it got out of control. It's like, it just got out, it went on from there. And then, of course, later on, the receptor came along, which started doing other things to the body, but the pyramids obviously were the first things. Now, we're working on a new pyramid, just so you know. It's going to be a bit pricey because it's got diamond dust sprayed all over it.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like a power dome. And what we do is we take 30 to 50 micron diamond dust, and we electroplate it into the surface of the metal. We're working on the process right now. I'll tell you what it's like. I'm giving Don Newsom a prototype. I told him I was going to give him one. I hope he hadn't forgot it, because, you know, we're inventing this thing. But what it is, it's like this. When you close your eyes and you take this thing, it's made like a power dome with this diamond dust on it. When you close your eyes and start to bring it down over your head, you can actually see light. It, you know, the way I described it, I think, on one of my shows was, let's say somebody slaps you in the face, you know, unexpectedly. You sort of, you don't like it, and you see stars for a second. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, all those stars. And then kind of where it's like, you see this stuff. It's a visual. Well, it's like not getting, it's like seeing the stars you got when you got slapped in the face without the pain, and it's more like ecstasy. You know, and I don't mean drug, but I mean the ecstasy experience. So that's what it's like, and you can, it's fun because you can close your eyes and raise and lower it over your head, and as it comes down over your head, you see this white and blue light, these sparkles. And this is only a prototype, and this was only partially coated. We haven't even put one together. It's completely coated because diamond dust isn't cheap. But we are working on it. So that's the next step. So the pyramid, you know, it was originally a pyridome, the fire dome, ray dome, and two power domes. Now we're going into what's called the chrysolidome. That technology is moving forward, and it never levels off. And the more that you wear these pyramids on your head, the much greater the experience is going to be. Okay, so
I think I need some business cards to pass out.
Yeah.
Because people keep asking me, what is that? Where did you get it?
Yeah, just send them over to BBS Radio to listen to Dr. Bell, or just send them over to, you know, just type Dr. Fred Bell in the search engine, and they'll come right to me, or become a distributor. Sounds like you should become a distributor.
I think I might.
Yeah. Just call
Miguel. Because I wear it everywhere, so.
And then just sign up and start selling these things. I mean, people love them. And all of the thousands and thousands of them that I've sold, I bet maybe two have come back.
Really?
It was just too much for people. They got severe headaches or something. By the way, if you do wear one and get a headache, be sure and drink a lot of water and take vitamin C, because you're just detoxing. And, oh, and one other thing that I forgot to... I started using carrot juice about 3 years ago, you know, raw squeezed carrot juice. And my vision was, at that time, it was 2400. After I do carrot juice and wearing a power dome and working another level of cleansing, my vision is 2200 now. So I had to throw out, I don't know, $1,000 worth of contact lenses that I had and get all new prescriptions for a contact lens that's not very strong. And on certain days I'll get up and I don't even need them. I get up and I think I have my contact lenses on because I actually see normal for a little while. Once I start stressing out during the day like we all do, then I sort of notice that probably stress is what caused my eyes to go bad in the first place anyway when I was a kid, because I had a highly stressful childhood. But so it does lend a lot to the immune system, which does boost up your actual vision, your regular vision that you use every day. And that's another thing that I've experienced with the Power Dome.
What if you don't have any vision?
I beg your pardon?
If you don't have any vision...
What do you mean, you can't see?
Right. What if you can't see?
Well, we're just starting to work with people that don't have vision at all. And some have never seen, and some have. And this is a whole new area. We've got a whole lot of new clients that we're working with right now. Steve Barish will be on in a few minutes. I'll have him address that a little bit.
Thank you.
Yeah, and matter of fact, Steve, you're in there now at 7:25. Why don't you come on up and talk a little bit about that?
Yes, there's a lot that's being done. I've been working with people with bad vision now for about 7 or 8 years. And right around the eye itself, the bone part of the eye, there's tones. And you can actually set tones around the eyes and create a little better healing. So that's what I've been doing for the last 3-4 years now, actually.
What if you don't have an optic nerve?
That I haven't addressed yet. I haven't addressed that yet. I don't know. I'll have to play with that a little bit. I haven't done that. All I know is that I did come across the tones in the eyes, and it's actually making the eyes a little better. You can actually take the frequencies up in the eyes, but I haven't done anything with the optic nerve yet.
Will you let us know when you do?
Just up on the threshold of that. But one of the things I saw a question from Artier about Pirillo, which I think is important. It's a trace mineral, and. I recommend 1 to 3 ounces a day of that, and I've been doing that with the carrot juice. I think that really helps, because if your body is low on trace minerals, what happens is your body's 5% mineral controls 95% of your metabolic functions. And so therefore, if the trace minerals aren't there, the other two nervous systems aren't going to work. And it's the parasympathetic nervous system is the one that starves the most, and that's also the one that it's necessary for nerves to regrow, the parasympathetic. Yeah, the sympathetic nervous system is for feeling and temperature and appetite, and the autonomic nervous system is for heartbeat and, you know, regulation of breathing, things you don't think about that are very necessary. But people let that that parasympathetic go to sleep, and the vision is definitely going to suffer from that. So it's part of that. Now, the next step from that with the pyramid, we did some experiments. This is interesting. I'll tell you about this. This is a long time ago. 20 years ago, we brought a friend of mine up in the Bay Area. He was one of the first people to build a portable Corellian camera. And we would put leaves, like maple leaves with five leaves on like a palm of your hand. They almost look like the palm of a human hand. We'd tear one leaf off and put it on Corellian camera, and you would actually see the etheric field electrically, even though that leaf is missing, as though it were there. Then we experimented with live creatures like lizards that had lost their tail. We didn't take their tails off. We found them that had lost their tail. And we found that the aura of where the tail was. And I asked the Pleiadians about this. And then the other thing that I tied into was people had their thyroid glands removed physically, which is a very bad thing to do, I feel. But some of them were so cancerous they had to come out. But still, they had some thyroid functions because we would put the nuclear receptor on them with an emerald, and they would start to get thyroid functions back, even though it's working on an etheric level. Mm-hmm. And the way I would look at that is, from a serious note, as long as the etheric level is there, and there is a boost in the life force from the oxygen, proper consumption of oxygen in the body has a chance to re-metabolize itself, and when it re-metabolizes itself, it's possible for nerves to grow back. Or even an arm, theoretically. And I remember when I wrote my book, Death of Ignorance, in the science, 1979, the scientific community, I went around, I was doing a college circus. I was doing all the Harvard and the Amherst and Bowling Green and U of M, all those places I went, and I was talking about this in University of California and all these colleges. I said, the nerves can grow back. And they said, oh, no, they can't. They can't. And guess what? Today, science has now recognized that nerves can grow back. Of course, you know, in the pharmaceutical world, they're trying to find drugs to do it, but that's not the way to do it. It has to be done with trace minerals. It needs to be done with, the pyramid energy boosting the life force, and stuff that we're doing definitely is in the right direction. We're not the total answer, but we definitely are moving in the right direction and getting results towards a real answer, you know. What do you think about that, Steve? Steve, I think that because of the way the holographic projector, we haven't tried this yet, but if we're looking at the body as a hologram, it seems to me we should be able to restore, do better restoration work all at once.
Well, what I was doing while we were talking, the young lady that was on, I've been looking at the projector, and I've been projecting energy from the center of the eye to the back of the eye, and I'm just wondering if she can feel that.
I can feel something.
Yes, I've been projecting that for about the last 3 or 4 minutes.
I could feel something.
Yes. Do you see any light in that eye, dear?
No, I don't. I've never seen any light in.
Okay. Can you feel the presence of almost like a thin beam that's going from the front of your eye to the back of your eye? Can you feel that?
Yeah.
Good. 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 Now, this is my first time playing with that, so I don't mean playing with it.
You're doing good.
It's the first time I've experimented with that, and it's only been about 3-4 minutes, so you have to pardon me.
I thought it was because I was standing too close to
the
refrigerator.
No. I've been ever since you've been talking about that.
Thinking,
I've been using a lot of compassion on your eye and a lot of
love.
You
really are doing good with it, because I can definitely feel something happening in there.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Steve, have you talked to Steve before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, yeah. Steve, give her your phone number.
Oh, yes. Phone number is 585.
Wait, I'm not. You know, we just walk around with things in our hands.
Sure.
Right. Hold on a minute. Here's the number.
It's 585-746-8321 is my cell number, and my phone number at work is 585-442-5410.
Thanks.
You're quite welcome. I've been looking. Actually, I'm back in the center of your eye right now. I'm looking right at the right in your eye. So you should feel a presence in your eye right now.
It feels like when I stand by a window and I can feel the light coming in.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes, that's exactly right. Good.
That's a good exercise.
Good.
To work with, just remember that feeling and then capitalize on it because energy follows thought.
Okay.
Around your eyes, I've tried different energy spots around the eyes. There are tones. I'll have to speak to you in private about it, but there are tones around the eyes that will actually change the frequency of the eye.
Oh, I'd like to try
it. So we'll discuss that when you call.
Okay, that'll be a really good experiment for just me, but for a lot of people.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we have another lady that's been paralyzed, and we're making some progress. How's she doing, by the way?
I've only worked on her twice. I tried calling her the other day, Fred, and she had C1, C2 broken, which is the atlas and axis, and I have her toes moving now, and I have her right thumb moving. So I've only talked to her twice, and I'd like to do more work with her. Matter of fact, I tried reaching her 2 days ago, and I couldn't get through, so tomorrow I'll give her another
try. You talk to her, tell her I've got her platinum receptor here right now.
Absolutely.
We'll be sending that out definitely on Monday.
Absolutely.
I had it come back from the manufacturer, but the chain was too short. It was the wrong frequency, so I had it retuned with the right length chain.
That's cool.
Yeah, because the chain on DNA, you know, the length of DNA is about 3 feet long, 38 centimeters. So anyway, we have to make the antenna, which is the antenna, the part of the receptor that, you know, holds it around your neck, the right frequency. It has to be within 27 to 30 inches.
Okay.
Where it works the best.
Okay.
Shulera had made it 26, and I said, no, that's not going to work.
Gotcha.
So he lengthened it to what it should be.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so when we work with, see, the holographic stuff is new, and when people start positioning these projectors, we use Steve as a consultant to help them set their systems up because he has a clairvoyant gift that not too many people have. It seems to work very well because everybody that he helps seems to come back and thank us and then go back and refer their friends. So we're getting good luck. And the hologram, you know, if you make one change, you know, in science, in laboratories, they experiment with two substances. And they'll examine it microscopically, electron microscope, and they're identical, but they're not connected. And as soon as they change the frequency of one substance, the other one, wherever it is, will automatically follow along with it. And the technology there, of course, with the government and some of the labs, is they try to remove a photon from one substance and make it reappear in another, which they've now been able to do. So it's theoretically a form of teleportation. So we're starting to run into a parallel with the hologram healing technology and the science of moving objects. In this case, we would want to move electrons and protons and mesons and muons inside your body, quarks, hadrons, the whole works inside your body. That would all be part of the process of reconstruction of nerves. So what has to happen is, you know, I always say, physician, heal thyself, and that a receptor or a pyramid on your head is not going to do any healing. You still have to do it yourself. What we're finding now is we're opening up portals, and I think that loss of vision and loss of hearing, in some cases people are born with it. Some cases they are susceptible to some kind of a trauma, and in the force of that trauma have come to not be able to see. Others are born with degenerative diseases that gradually take away vision and hearing. And so, to me, I'm not looking at each individual anymore. I'm looking at the problem itself, a degeneration of the audio or neural, you know, in the neural nervous systems of the eye, the optical nervous system, any of those degenerative processes. And so what we're seeing, what I'm seeing anyway, is that we're not looking, humanity has a tendency to, you know, you cut yourself, you just got a cut, we look at the trauma right there on the spot. But I have a way to say, why did you cut yourself? Weren't you paying attention? What happened, you know? Do you have a tendency not to pay attention? You cut yourself a lot? I know, me personally, I do it. When I'm going too fast, I whack myself up all day long, and I have bandages all over me because I'm that prone because I go too fast. and I'm just naturally speedy. But the bottom line is I start looking at hereditary, you know, heredity in the family, you know, the DNA strength. And then I go back and I'm looking now into the family's history, the tree, you know. For example, just to show you how genetics work, I watched a special the other day on Genghis Khan. As a matter of fact, I know a direct descendant of Genghis Khan. Actually, it was called, it's not Genghis, is another way of saying his name. We call him Genghis. Genghis Khan. That's right, that's the proper. And him and his armies went, you know, him especially, when he conquered, and he was the largest conqueror in history, they started doing DNA testing on the Orientals and the Mongolians and all the people that that he had came in contact with race-wise. And by setting up what was a DNA set of his personal DNA, they found him, his DNA, in 30 million people on this world today, 30 million. So looking back at, you know, here's one conqueror that had a, you know, a spread of the seed of 30 million people in presence, we go back to, why not just go back and look at him? And that'll tell us about 30 million people and then his ancestry. So in the process of that, we start going back to the basic families of man, you know, some of the biblical interpretations, and looking at the basic families of man, we start to see where, you know, the Tower of Babel fell, and that created all these different languages. So we see all these heretorical expressions that have led us to have multi-languages. By the way, a lot of people don't realize that this, as far as numbers go, in China, for example, if we took 28% of the highest IQ Chinese, that's still more people than we have in America. And in about 5 years, the largest English-speaking nation in the world will be China. So DNA has gotten a thread here. I think that we were blessed to speak the English language. The rest of the world wants to speak it now. And so going back with that, we start to see the hologram. Where in the hologram did humanity start on this planet? And the next thing that I'll bring up is a new video that we just put up. It's on BBS Radio now, and it's some NASA stuff I got my hands on. And it's taken from space. And in outer space, we have it's a new space international space station that we're building. Behind that, we have this 10-mile-long, like a ribbon, that moves, and they track it with this ribbon. This ribbon is 10 miles long, and there's a view of it from one of the STS missions, or most recent one. And down along this ribbon, which is below the spacecraft, the NASA spacecraft, are huge motherships 1 to 3 miles long in diameter. And there's over 100 of them up there now. And these are, I know for a fact, to be Andromedan ships. I had spoke of their return. Well, the Andromedans were the ones that gave us the holographic projector. And they gave it to me back about the time that Semyonsky had given me the receptor. She gave me this receptor in 1979, and I had the projector in 81. We only started producing projectors last year. Why did it take, you know, almost 25 years to get them on the market? Was because in the design of it, when you went to a design on a computer with the CAD programs that we use, the technology wasn't there yet to design the darn thing. So I had to get 5X space engineers to figure out and redesign a computer program so they could even do the CAD drawing. Then when the CAD drawings were done, the CNC machines couldn't handle them. The only way we could even produce the first prototype was go into a laser type situation and produce a hologram in a special resin solution. And we used a helium-cadmium laser, which happens to run at 402 nanometers, which is kind of interesting. 402 nanometers is just below going into the astral plane. Like, for example, butterflies see in the astral plane. You know, that's the place where you dream. So we're using a light source that's ultraviolet that you can barely see with your naked eye, shooting it into a plastic situation in a holographic projected form that 5 NASA engineers had to create. And that's how after doing that for 6 months and spending thousands of dollars, we came out with our first mold for the projector, the big one and the little one. And so now, you know, I don't know, 25 years later, we're bringing this thing to the market. We've had it on the market now, what, about a year, right, Steve? That's about how long we've been doing this for these big things. And we haven't even, you know, whenever we brought a product to the marketplace, regardless of what it is, I have no, you know, I'm told what it could do. I don't know what it's going to do. I don't tell anybody. I think it's supposed to do this. How it works? Oh, I got an idea. You go figure it out, you know, how it works. Steve's figuring it out. So what the only way that people can relate to it is use it, and then we get feedback from those people, and then we start building a database. But, you know, we build a hell of a database on the power domes. It's still growing. We build a heck of a database on the nuclear receptor. It's still growing. And we just started building a database on the holographic projectors, and it's mind-blowing. It's just, it's beyond anything I've ever seen. It's absolutely, these things do things that I could never, it's like out of a comic book. And I'd be afraid to say to people on the air right now, commit to some of the things that I have witnessed with them. All I can say is, you'll have to try it for yourself, you know. And then Steve came along, and you were working with us, right, Steve, before the projectors?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what do you think about the jump in receptor technology to the jump in the projector technology? What do you think about
that?
Well,
the projector technology is so powerful that my jump in energy has been maybe 1,000 times.
Yeah.
I'm doing things instantaneously now, so my suggestion is, if there are healers out there, and there's plenty of really, really swell, wonderful healers, if they would get involved with either wearing a projector or having a projector on a table or on a wall, it's so powerful that it's just creating super healing all day long for me. And I've been working with these for about a year, maybe a little over a year now. And I call Fred every other day and tell him things that I never even thought possible before, just by talking to this woman on the radio this evening, and being able to project that light into the center of the eye and actually see it. I think there's a lot that's happening. We're just going into a new phase of energy, and the dimensional work, or what I call super-dimensional work, is profound. It's just extremely profound with this projector. And I've been wearing a necklace projector for the past, about a year now, Fred?
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember I told Fred a story. My wife and I went to Social Security, and their computers were down, and I walked right up to the computer, and I told the computer to turn on, and it actually turned on. Their printer was down. I asked the printer please to turn on, and we got what we needed out of the computer, which was a Social Security card, and then, of course, we left. But that's my wife was asking me, what are you doing? And, of course, I had the projector on at the time, and just by asking, you can actually change things. So I started to realize at that particular point, if you can change that, you can do anything with these projectors.
Yeah, you know, Kurt's asked a question here on the live chat. He says, I'm going to direct this to you, projector necklace versus standalone system. Please comment on different uses. How would you answer that question? It's a good question, you know.
It's a very good question. The question that I would answer is, the projector that you wear around your neck becomes very personal.
Yeah.
It's extremely personal. You add on tremendous power. The projector that is on the wall or on the table, the standalone, you can actually feel the energy coming a long way off, where the projector that you're wearing is very intimate. There's two different feelings.
Yeah, what I've found is that first of all, you know, people, when we test the receptor, you know, that technology, we are looking for the hydrogen atom, the body's oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon. So we muscle test to find the proper stone, and the body reproduces its cells at 90 million per second, and it takes 3 months to do the first set of entire cell body system, like the blood flow or bones or whatever, which takes 7 years. And so what we find is, as they go through the receptor stones, and they'll evolve through the stones as more and more of their body reproduces at higher octaves and becomes more ethereal. And So then what happens is the projector, when it's worn, is a wave device. People will say, well, would you muscle test me for a projector? And I say, no, we're not going to muscle test you for a projector, because that's not how it works. It's how fast you believe in magic. How fast do you want things to happen around you? Do you want things to start off slow and go quick later, or do you want things to start off with a bang and hang in with a seatbelt? So we use the violet, which is the lower frequency, the base of the spine. and to go slow, and we speed it up to the diamond, you know, and people, a lot of them like the yellow, which is the solar plexus, and when people find their beat, I've had people send the diamond back, and I have to put in a yellow stone because it was too intense for them. It just, things went too fast, their blood pressure went through the roof, and it has nothing to do with the way the receptor works. It has to do with developing the etheric body, and this is what the Andromedans explained to me. You know, if everybody wants to be immortal, well, we already are immortal. It's like, are you ready to not drop this body? Are you ready to do 100% healing in this body? Are you really ready for it? Or do you have these medical problems because you're not really ready to become immortal? You're not really ready to gaze down the face of the Sephiroth into the eyes of God. You're just quite not ready. You know it's there, but maybe you're not ready, and that's why you're going through these physical conditions. And so these are the kinds of things that you need to think about before you start playing around with projector technology, because it will bring you to the etheric state. And I find as your metabolism shifts over to the etheric state, your body becomes a lot lighter. And there are other things on the market. Just don't think these are the things that Pyridine makes. This is the ultimate deal. There's other stuff out there that works quite well in assist with this. And we've just developed a healing plate that's going to be coming on the market that you can put juices in, or a wine in, or food in. That's going to be something new. We're starting to have peripheral products that nurture ours, that make ours better. And we haven't been able to do that in the past because we've been too busy keeping up with how the growth of this company is. So we're getting more people, and we can bring this out more. So don't think this is like a big commercial for Pyridine when I do these shows about this. This stuff comes up, and we're getting inundated in all of the questions because people are getting tremendous results. But as your body becomes etheric, it's a heck of a lot easier to repair it there and then just move the body up to the repair than try to go from the etheric level back to the cell and burden the whole etheric thing into a dead bunch of cells. Just cast those cells off and come into the higher vibration and bring your whole body up to the higher vibration with the correctness that you internally were born and, you know, built with in your very first existence in the universe, which wasn't in this life, it was in some life. And just go the other way and think the other way, and then realize that as we go around the Pleiades, that etheric energy becomes the life force now. It's turning, the prana is not such a dense form, and luckily, we don't need as much. However, with global warming and loss of oxygen, we're losing oxygen now. We're not, you know, the oxygen percentage in the air is way less now than it was. So that means, you know, 50 years ago, when you took a breath of air, you got a whole different euphoric rush and a whole different body rush from that air than you're breathing today. Today there's not much oxygen there, and then sometimes we measured it in parking lots on a hot day in New York City. There's hardly anything down in the, you know, underneath one of those high-rise buildings when it's 100 degrees in New York City with cars driving around in a parking lot underground. There's nothing there. So it's important to go etheric. If you don't go etheric, I feel you're going to run into a lot of complications. First thing, I think you're going to become incredibly depressed, incredibly accident-prone, and you're going to be fodder for the drug companies that just want you that way. Because these other companies realize, and that's why, you know, and we'll talk at the end of the show. I'm going to make a little comment on all of this. We're almost running out of time. How are your feelings on that, Steve?
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. The projectors, I've got four projectors up on my wall, and I believe that your daughter and I, I've actually had the room disappear. I mean, just absolutely go totally just disappear.
Because you can see through the walls.
Absolutely. You can see through the walls. I saw pyramids above me. I have a vortex in my room right now at work that's about 600 feet high and about 3 miles wide.
Yeah, that's huge. So it's got to be affecting your neighborhood.
I think so. I think it's affecting it quite much.
Yeah.
Quite much. But these things really work. I testify to them totally. I've had a lot of miraculous things happen since I've been using the projectors. I was working with a client this morning that had a partially amputated foot and hadn't been able to move it in quite a while, and now she's moving it after about 5 minutes worth of work.
Yeah, is she diabetic?
No, not diabetic. She had an accident, I believe.
Okay.
And yeah, there's a lot of things that are happening. I had a woman that called me this morning that the left side of her body was not even, she couldn't feel anything. And within about 6 minutes, she was hot, and she was also feeling a lot in her left side again. So there's a lot to do, and there's a lot of healing to be done. And I believe that the projectors that I wear and the nuclear receptor that I wear and the projectors I have on the walls have a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
A lot to do with it. I think we're heading into an age of holographic, and I believe that, if I remember correctly, a holographic projector is the way to the universe.
Yeah, I believe that, because the universe is a projection in itself.
You bet.
It's the ignorance that created the mass and the density and brought it down to the levels that we were experiencing now, where we have pain.
Right. I believe your daughter disappeared, too, one time, didn't she, in
yeah,
your house?
Yeah, in the living room.
Yeah.
We had a, one of those, all those things, a micro star set up in mm-hmm. there, and I was photographing it at night with lasers, and she started dancing here, she's like a little belly dancer, and she
right.
got really high, you know? She didn't
uh-huh.
do any drugs or anything. She's never had drugs, but she just started vibrating at a very high level. And then people don't realize now, in the living room here, over there by the fireplace where you see the camera, that's where the Stargate is. And that Stargate, since it's been there, it goes all the way back to Brad Steiger, who was on the show a few weeks ago. His wife, Sherry, before she was married, had one of the first Stargate experiences in the living room we've ever had. And she was out for 6 hours, and she'll still talk about it, and Brad will even mention it if you ask him. And then later on, we had other people have that experience. Once we put the projectors up, the Stargate experience has gone to a new level now. And basically,
yes.
when people go into a certain vibration, they collapse. They sort of just go out. They usually hit the floor, hopefully not too hard, and usually they come down doing some yoga or something. Even if they've never done yoga, you see them doing stretches and things because they know they can feel their body opening up and relieving all kinds of stress that our society puts on you on a daily basis. You see that going away, and they start moving into the energy. And then what happens is I think the etheric body steps out of the physical body, and then they have these wild experiences. And
I remember the experience.
Well, Sherry Steiger was out 6 hours, and I think, remember Xenia Seberg, my girl from Lex, I think she was out about 2 hours. She went out a little hard, and we had to do some mouth-to-mouth to get her back in. I had a doctor here, this other doctor at the time, and we were a little bit worried because she went out a little fast. But normally people don't go out that fast. We had a film crew and a producer here, and who was a talk show host, and he went out pretty fast, and he wasn't even expecting. He came up here to do a spoof on us and ended up having a real experience, and he walked out of here visibly shaken. And his producer wanted to have it. This guy was a little overweight, and he was a smoker. His producer, and I says, no, I think it might be dangerous for you. So we've had these experiences, and it always occurs right there by the fireplace where that painting is that people watch on the camera, you know, that we have that 24-hour camera on.
Yeah.
So anyway, this has been a kind of a fun show. We're almost out of time here, you know. I'm going to have to get off the air in a couple of minutes. And anything else you want to say, Steve? You know, one person asked, by the way, a couple questions here.
Yes.
About you don't have a website yet, right?
No, I don't, Fred.
Are you going to be getting one?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
And somebody asked, when's my next trip to Canada? I'm not sure. I'm waiting to get some better transportation than I've had, and that's why I've been traveling. Another question, when will the new pyramids be available? That's the Priscilla Dome. Well, the retail price on that's going to be about $1,000. They're not cheap. Hopefully we'll have them available by the summer. If somebody asked me where my book is, well, find it, and I'll know. I get so many interruptions, but the spirit is burning on me to get this book out. So it's coming. Believe me, it's coming. And even if I have to just stop and shut everything down, I'm going to get it. So these seem to be the questions of the hour that have come up. I love this quick chat, and I love the call-ins, and we're going to have a lot of fun. And I'll let you give your phone number out again, how to reach you, Steve.
Yes, I've got two numbers that I use. The cell phone is 585-746-8321, and my phone number at work is 585-442-5410, and I'm willing to help everybody that can.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Steve, for being on the show. Now we're down to the last part, my favorite part, which is called Hot Rod to Hell. Yeah, this is my favorite part. Well, here's who I'm upset with now. It seems that last week it was discovered that the oil companies have gotten together, the big, you know, petroleum like Exxon, Chevron,
yes.
you know, and put a think tank together. Now, think about this. They put a think tank together to go against the policy of global warming, to disprove global warming. Now, these people have to be already dead. They must want to kill their children. They want to murder their families and beat their dogs to death. And if they have a bird, throw it in the fan. That's what I think these people must behave. Because if they think the almighty dollar of the petroleum buck, you know, is going to, you know, fool everybody and pay people, they're willing to give a person $10,000. This is a number. This is a true number. $10,000 to contribute to their think tank to prove or make a postulation why global warming isn't caused by man. In other words, come up with a natural force and maybe even say that global warming isn't even happening. So with that, all of you people at these refineries and the drug companies, and all of you people out there making petroleum products that hurt people, that don't want to help, I want you all to take a hot rod trip to hell.